Letters from Home, a podcast from the St. Paul Center.
Are you concerned about the state of the Catholic Church today? Hi, this is Ralph Martin, urging you to read my new book, A Church in Crises, Pathways Forward, which not only details the growing hostility to our faith, but also discusses what we could do about it. Learn more at stpaulcenter.com.
Hi, this is Dr. John Bergsman from the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology and Franciscan University of Steubenville, coming to you on this Friday of the fourth week of Easter. Let's remind ourselves why we're here. It's to praise and worship the Lord Jesus Christ, that he may be better known and loved, and many may come to have salvation through him. Always good periodically to remind ourselves of what we're on this earth to do. And we're going to praise and worship the Lord Jesus Christ today by reflecting on his word. In the first reading, we are moving through the book of Acts, witnessing the growth of the early church. In the gospel, we are exploring the great discourses of Jesus in the gospel of John. And so we're in Acts 13 in our first reading today. This is a pivotal chapter where Acts picks up a strong focus on the career of St. Paul. St. Peter has been dominating the book of Acts, the narrative of Acts from Acts 1 through 12. We're shifting to following the career of St. Paul. And in Acts 13, St. Luke, the author of Acts, records for us the first great sermon of St. Paul, which is in Pisidian Antioch, or Antioch in Pisidia. There are many cities named Antioch in the ancient world. This one was in a certain region called Pisidia. And so we have a long sermon of St. Paul recorded here, and we get the end of it in today's reading. And St. Paul is giving the account of the life and ministry and ultimately the passion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he comes to the end of that story of our Lord's passion and resurrection. And he says, "We ourselves are proclaiming this good news to you, that what God promised our fathers, he has brought to fulfillment for us, their children, by raising up Jesus, as it is written in the second psalm, 'You are my son. This day I have begotten you.'" So Paul presents himself as a witness to the good news of Jesus Christ, and the good news of Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that was promised to the Jewish people, to the fathers, that would be the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and also all the promises of the prophets like David and Isaiah and Jeremiah and the other prophets. And one of the interesting things is, if you have the time, you might compare this sermon of St. Paul in Acts 13 to the sermon of Peter at Pentecost in Acts 2. And what you'll discover is that the preaching of St. Peter and St. Paul was very, very similar. They preached a very similar gospel. They even used some of the same texts, like Psalm 16, for example, to prove that Jesus is the Messiah. Luke records this so that we can see how close Peter and Paul were. Yes, it's true, they had some falling outs, like in Galatians 1 and 2, you'll read about a dispute that Peter and Paul had. But for all of that, Peter and Paul were tight, and they were two pillars who built up the church. The ancient Temple of Solomon had two pillars at its portico that held up the roof of the temple, and Solomon even gave them names. But in the temple, which is the church of the new covenant, Peter and Paul are like those two pillars of the temple that stand outside and hold up the emphasis. Together, Peter and Paul built the Church of Rome. They both ended up in Rome. Their disciples and their entourages both ended up in the city of Rome. And that's why the church in Rome became the mother church of Christianity after the death of these two great apostles. Together, they worked tirelessly to build up the kingdom of God. and they were successful. So let's always remember they were unified, because there have been heretical attempts throughout church history to drive a wedge between Peter and Paul and claim that, say, Peter preached a gospel to the Jews, whereas Paul preached a gospel to the Gentiles, and somehow they were not together, they were not on board. These are all heretical ideas. No, there was one gospel preached out of the mouths of both of these apostles, and together that preaching built up the Catholic Church. Well, let's move now to John 14, a very important chapter. This is part of what we call the Last Supper discourse, where our Lord teaches on the Holy Spirit. We are in the Easter season. We're about halfway through, so we're beginning to turn our sights toward Pentecost. And so you'll observe that the readings in the gospel, both weekday and Sunday readings, will turn increasingly to that section, Acts 14 through 17, which is our Lord's teaching on the Holy Spirit that he gave to the apostles in the upper room in the context of the Last Supper. And so here we have in John 14, 1 through 6, our Lord teaching, saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in God. Have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself." Now, two images are going on here. One is a temple image, and the other is a marriage image. So this Father's house, where there are many dwelling places, is a temple image. The house of Jesus' father is the temple, of course. Remember the account of the finding of the boy Jesus in the temple? What does he say to his parents? He says, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Okay, so the Father's house, out of the mouth of Jesus, is the temple. Moreover, the temple was a very large building. It was the largest building in all of Jewish culture. And in the temple, there were many, many rooms, not just the main nave, if you will, for worship and the Holy of Holies, but there were many, many storerooms in the temple. And the temple was really a huge complex with multiple courts and many storerooms, etc. So this Father's house, where there are many dwelling places, it's an image of the heavenly temple, okay? The temple of God, where we're going to dwell with God the Father forever in heaven, but also of the church, which is the manifestation of God's temple on earth. God's church built of us, each of us being a living stone, and there's many dwelling places in the visible church. There's room for everyone, for all of humanity. There is room for them in God's temple, which is the church. So these are some of the ideas going on here, this house of many dwelling places. And then we have this idea of going to prepare a place for you. And if I'm going to prepare a place, I'm going to come back and take you to myself. This is probably nuptial language, based on the practice in the ancient world of when a man would betroth himself to a young woman, and then after the betrothal, he would go away and prepare a dwelling place for them, a house for them to begin life as a married couple. Often this was done by building onto the house of the man's father. So you build an extra wing on the family house. And when he had that construction finished, then he would go back to his betrothed and he would take her to himself to go begin their life together in this new dwelling. And Jesus, of course, is the spouse of our souls, who has betrothed himself to us. He has given us the promise of the new covenant, in a sense, betrothed himself to us through the sacraments of baptism and confirmation and Eucharist, given us those down payments, those pledges of his love. And if he has done that for us, he will certainly come for us one day to bring us into the house of his Father, where we will dwell with God the Father forever in that beatific vision. So this is the language of love. And how do we get to that house of the Father? Through Jesus. As he says at the end of our passage, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus' life is the way. His life needs to be replicated in our lives. Okay, his life of holiness, his life of devotion to the Father, his life of suffering, and ultimately his life of resurrection. All those things are replicated in our lives. We're little Christs. That's what it means to be a Christian. We're baptized into him. That was the meaning of our baptism. We're so joined with him that he's replicating his life in our life. And if we allow him to replicate his life in our life, then we will surely go to the house of the Father one day to live with him forever. That's a beautiful thought, isn't it? Being a spouse to Christ forever. He is the spouse of our souls. I love that idea. It's not just an idea. It's a reality that we renew every time we take his body, blood, soul, and divinity into our own body in the Eucharist. So this has been Dr. John Bergsma from the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology and Franciscan University of Steubenville, wishing you a happy and a holy Friday of the fourth week of Easter.
Letters from Home is a production of the St. Paul Center. Our commentators include Dr. Scott Hahn, Dr. John Bergsma, and Mr. Curtis Mitch. Our production team includes technical director, engineer, and producer, Joseph Palmer. Subscribe and rate Letters from Home wherever you find this podcast. The St. Paul Center is a nonprofit organization facilitating life-transforming encounters with the living Word of God. To find more faith-based resources, visit stpaulcenter.com.